Today I want to take a moment to look into the life of Nicodemus, and I want to ask one question. Which Nicodemus are you? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this opportunity, Lord. I just do thank you for the privilege that it is to stand here and proclaim your word, Lord. I just do pray that you would just help me just to be a good witness and a good voice box for you, Lord. I pray that you would just help everything to be said just to be honoring and pleasing to you. And I pray that you would just help me to say what you would have me to say and help me to say nothing else, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would just help me as I present this message and just help everything go smoothly. Lord, I pray this on your precious name. Amen. So today, I want to take a look at the three different times Nicodemus is brought up in Scripture. I want to start off by looking at John 3, the first time that Nicodemus is brought up in Scripture. And it says in verse 1, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came by night to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." I want to take a moment first to talk about who Nicodemus was. We know that Nicodemus was a Pharisee. We know that he was a ruler of the Jews. I mean, that's plainly written out. It says Nicodemus was essentially the head of the religions at the time. He was the head. They were the heads of the churches. They would be like today's pastors, today's elders, today's whatever you want to call them, the deacons. That was what Nicodemus was. Nicodemus was in charge of everyone. Yet, during all of that, I want to take a moment after that to talk about what he was doing. He was looking for answers. Nicodemus was out at night, and he was trying to find truth. He thought he had all the truth. He had the entire Old Testament, right? He had all the prophets. He had the Torah. He had everything that he needed in the Old Testament, or so he thought. But there was so much that he still didn't understand. And so he was out looking for those answers. And that's why he tells Jesus and comes to him by night and says, "We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." He's saying, you can only do everything that you've been doing if you are sent directly from God. And so he knew that something was different about Jesus, but he didn't quite know what it was yet. And so he's trying to figure that out. He's trying to sort that out in his head, trying to understand what exactly is it with this Jesus guy? What is this guy doing? What is he all about? And what is he trying to do for me? That's what his whole questioning was about. And I want to take a moment and look at exactly the fact that he came to him by night. See, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all of the Jewish leaders did not like Jesus at all. They didn't like him. They thought he was a heretic, and they did not take lightly to heretics. Anyone who spoke about God and wasn't something that was flattering to traditional Judaism, they looked at as heresy, as something that was not sent from God, something that was, in fact, against God. So that's what they thought Jesus was. So if Nicodemus came to Jesus in front of everyone, he would have been mocked. Everyone would have made fun of him. It's like if we were to go to, let's say, like a Muslim church and stand in front of them and say, "Jesus Christ is Lord," they would all stare at us confused. They would all be extremely confused. I think we all know that they don't believe in Jesus. And they would look at us as fools. And in fact, they would probably laugh us out of the church. They would tell us to get out. They would say, "I don't know what you're talking about, but whatever it is, you don't know what you're talking about. And we don't want to hear any of it." So they would have kicked him out. And so he comes to him by night. He comes to him in secret. He comes to him in the time when people wouldn't be paying attention. And that's extremely important because he knew that what he was doing was wrong in the culture's eyes. But yet he still decided that he had to do it in either way. And secondly, I want to look at the fact that I want to look at the message that Nicodemus was given. He comes to him and he's telling him, he's saying, "Look, I don't know what you have to give, but I just want to know what you're all about." He just had questions. He just wanted to know what Jesus was all about. And Jesus answered in verse 3, and it says, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but thou but canst not tell whence it comes, whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily I say unto thee, we that have seen, and ye receive not our witness. I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not. How shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up into heaven, but that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent his Son into the world to, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So this entire time, he's telling him, you have to be born again. And he's like, how can you be born again? What am I supposed to do? Like, how in the world can I be born again? And Jesus is saying, don't worry about that. Worry about the deeper message. He's saying, don't worry about that. Don't worry about the wording. Don't worry about that. A lot of times as Christians, we can get lost in wording. We can get lost in saying, we all know the sayings. We all know the word salvation. We all know the word sanctification, glorification. We all know the big words. But he's saying, what do those mean? And he's saying in verse, he says even in verse 10, he says, you're a ruler. You know these. You've memorized these, but you don't even understand them. How can you say that you don't understand them? And then he says in verse 16, and everyone knows it, and say it with me if you know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Forrest, if you want to come up here and help me with this, I want to show you what Jesus is telling him. He's telling him that God loves you and God loves the world so much so that he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus. So, Forrest, if you want to come over here, I want you to look at this. So in this first glass, we have Jesus. We have the Son of God. In the second glass, we have sin. We have this green, honestly, this is the best color that worked. So we have this green, I'm going to call it goo. That's the sin. That's the nasty stuff that we do. We all came into the world like this. This is us when we came into the world. We were clean. We were pure. This water looks perfect. Would you drink this water?
Yeah.
Yeah? Would you drink this one?
It depends.
Yeah, it depends? Yeah. Honestly, if I knew what was in this water, I might consider it. But just looking at it, being all green and weird, I don't think I'd drink it. But but this is what happened. So what happens when you sin for the first time? Okay, so we came into this world like this, clean and pure. Forrest, if you want to pour a little bit of sin, that's the first lie you told, the first time you cheated, the first time you did anything, and all of a sudden, pour more, pour more. All of a sudden, now you're green goo. All of a sudden, now you're filthy. All of a sudden, you're that gross stuff, because that's what fills you. That's what your entire life now consists of, is that weird, gross, gooey stuff that I don't want anything to do with. But that's why God sent his Son. God sent his Son so that the world didn't have to live like this anymore. He took the sin, if you want to take the sin, and pour it on Jesus. He took the entire sin of the world. Don't pour too much because it might overfill. Pastor wouldn't be happy with me. He took the sin of the world and washed it clean. That's good for us. He took it and he washed it. He made it white again. He made it pure again. He made it clean again. For the first time ever, we no longer had to live like this weird goo stuff. So Jesus is saying, if you'll accept my Son, if you accept him, then you can live like this and no longer like this. But all you have to do is take Jesus and accept him into your life. Can you pour Jesus into you? All to make you clean again. All to make you, I'm sorry for the blue tint. It kind of came with the green. But at least we get to be more like Jesus, right? Have a little blue in us. Here you go, Forrest. Thank you. But this is how Jesus leaves us. Jesus leaves us white again. Jesus leaves us clear again. Jesus leaves us, for lack of a better way of putting it, drinkable again. Jesus made it all right again for the first time ever. Thank you, Forrest. You can go back to your seat. That was the message that Jesus came to show Nicodemus, was that all you have to do is take my son and you can live with me in heaven. You can be clean again. You can be pure again. But you have to accept my son. You have to take him in. If not, you're still the green goo. You're still living in sin. You're still filled with sin. You're still filled with all that gross stuff. So I want to ask you guys, just like Nicodemus, he heard the message, but have you ever done anything with it? He heard it and he understood it, but it doesn't say in the passage that he accepted it. We don't know at this point if Nicodemus ever accepted Christ. Now I want to ask you guys, have you heard? We've all heard it here. Pastors preached it. We've heard it out on doors. We've heard it in various different methods. But have you accepted it? Have you truly accepted it into your heart? We all want answers. And we're all asking the right questions. And we may even be trying to take the right actions. But I want to ask you, have you taken that step? So first we saw the curiosity of Nicodemus, the questioning Nicodemus. We saw him wanting to find those answers. And secondly, I want to take a look at the defender of Nicodemus. If you want to turn in your Bibles to John 7, this is the second time the Nicodemus is found in the Bible, John 7:50. Now I want to take you guys through this. So Jesus now has gone through his ministry, and now he is standing before the Pharisees, and the Pharisees are trying to condemn him without a trial. They're trying to say, you don't deserve to stand before a judge. We know that you're bad. We know that you deserve to go to jail, let's put it. They're saying, we know you've already done the wrong, so let's just send him. He doesn't need to go to court. He doesn't need to try to defend himself. He doesn't need any of that. Let's just send him. Let's just punish him already. And Nicodemus responds, and he says in verse 50, Nicodemus said unto them, it's clarifying that it's the same Nicodemus, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him, and know what he doeth? And they answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went unto his own house. So, in this area, Nicodemus still does not say that I'm with him. All Nicodemus says is he deserves to at least stand to at least give a defense, to at least, you know, as I know when I was in trouble all the time, all I wanted to do was give my 2 cents, you know, give my excuse. If I remember one time, me and my brother, we were playing around and we decided that we wanted to wrestle on my parents' bed. And the moment that we knew everything went wrong was when me and my brother were wrestling and I went to tackle him down and we missed the bed. And my head goes straight into the corner of the dresser. He just falls straight on the floor, and it is a mess. We're breaking things. We're all bruised. We're all battered. It was not a pretty sight. And when my parents got home, it was immediately, what happened? Who's in trouble? What's going on? And I remember before I said anything, it was, he started it. It wasn't, you know, there was no time for me to be able to even give my parents the time to give them punishment. I was already giving my excuse. I was already giving my defense. And that's what Nicodemus was saying. At least let him talk. At least let him give a defense. And after that, just like he feared before, they still mocked him. They said, what, are you from Galilee? And at this time, Galilee was the lowest of the low. Imagine Galilee being the homeless people on the street. And they're saying, no good thing can come from them. Nothing good can come from them. Are you like Jesus and from there too? Are you like Jesus who doesn't have any nice clothes, who doesn't go out to the fancy restaurants, who doesn't do anything extravagant, anything beautiful, anything big? Are you like him? But they still listened to him. They still let Jesus be heard. And they all went and they left. And I want to ask you guys, I still remember in middle school when I had first accepted Jesus into my life and I was first taking those steps to be a Christian, and someone asked me, why did you stop swearing? Why did you stop saying bad words? Why did you stop doing the things and hanging out with the kids that you used to hang out with. And I told them, I looked at them and I told them, because I'm a Christian, I want to live in a way that honors Christ. I want to live in a way that Jesus would be happy with my life. And she looked at me and she said, well, I'm a Christian too. I go to church on Sundays. And I looked at her and I was confused, and this was not the right response, and I would caution you guys not to respond like I did, but I was a dumb seventh grader. But I looked at her and I said, how can you be a Christian if you go out on Saturdays and you go out drinking? And this is seventh grade, guys, but alcohol is coming down to you guys. And I looked at her and I said, you're going out and you're drinking alcohol. You're going out and you're partying with your friends. You're going out and you're swearing with all your friends. You're saying bad words. You're doing bad things. You're doing all these bad things. How can you say that you're a Christian? And she just looked at me very, very angrily and walked off. But I want to ask you guys, are you guys like that? Do the kids at your school know that you're a Christian? Do they see something different in your life? Do they see something that makes them want to come to church? Do they see you in a different way than they see the kids of the world? So first we saw Nicodemus the curious. Secondly, we saw Nicodemus the defender. And thirdly, I want to take a look at Nicodemus the servant in John 19. At this point, Jesus has gone to court, you could call it. He's been crucified. He died on the cross. And they're preparing to bury him. And we'll start reading in verse 38. And it says in chapter 19 and verse 38, and after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there also came Nicodemus, which at first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes and 100-pound weight, then took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. So, at this point, they're starting to get the body ready to bury. And Nicodemus wasn't from this area. Nicodemus was from Judea. He was miles away, but he came down to see the crucified body. And then he didn't just settle there. He watched Jesus be crucified. But after Jesus was crucified, he helped carry the body to the tomb. But not just that. He gave of himself. He brought myrrh and he brought aloes. He paid his own money just to help bury Jesus and help the preparations. He was giving he was giving of what he had, his own personal stuff, to Jesus. And in this moment, Nicodemus was giving of himself. And I just want to ask you guys, we saw first that Nicodemus was asking the questions, but still he didn't necessarily make a profession of faith. And after that, he started even defending Christ. He started to say, being like my friend in seventh grade who was saying, I'm a Christian, but wasn't really necessarily even living it. And then after that, we see now that he's even going out of his way to help in, we could call it and put it in our terms, he was helping in church. He was doing what he needed to in church. Whenever someone asked him to help, he was there in church, ready to help. He was at the crucifixion, ready to help, ready to carry Jesus, ready to be there for him. But it still isn't clear on whether or not Nicodemus accepted Christ. And the biggest thing is after this. This is the last time Nicodemus is mentioned in the Bible. And to me, that's almost a scary feeling of, we don't know what happened to Nicodemus after. We don't know if Nicodemus accepted Christ necessarily. But most of all, at least I'm pretty sure that Nicodemus wasn't even in church. Because if he was in church, we would have heard about it in the later Pauline epistles. But we don't hear his name again. He's not mentioned when Paul's writing the letters to the churches. He's not mentioned again. And I want to ask you guys, and I want you guys to really think about this. If today was it, if you didn't have a tomorrow, if, let's just put it in today's day, if I were to go to all of your friends at school and ask them, what do you think they are? Do you think they're a Christian? Do you think they're a good kid? What would your friends say? Not what the teachers would say, not what your parents would say, not what us as your Sunday school teachers or your pastor or anything like that would say. What would your friends say? Would your friends say, yeah, he's a Christian. He lives like Christ. He tries to honor Christ. I see him doing it. Or would they say, well, I'm not sure. He hangs out with us and he plays with us, but he's just another one of us. Because that might have been what Nicodemus was falling into. And I want to ask you guys, when you guys are older, when you guys are old enough to make decisions, I know when I was already 13, 14, 12, I was starting to decide for myself whether or not I wanted to go to church. And some of you guys are already to that age or really close to it. And I want to ask you guys, when it comes up to you guys, are you guys going to want to be in church? And if so, is it going to be for the right reasons? Are you guys going to be in church because you want to hear what God has to say? Or are you just going to be in church because you feel like you have to? And what about after, in the future? What are you going to be remembered for? What is the impact on this earth that you want to leave? Do you want to be like that and have the whole world see you like this? And to be that light for Jesus? And for everyone to look at you and be like, I don't know what it is about that kid. I don't know what it is about that young man or young lady. I don't know what it is about that person. But I want what they have. I want that joy. I want that happiness. I want that excitement. I want what they have. Or are you just going to fall into the pit? Are you just going to be like maybe even the Pharisees who are in church, who are leading the churches, who are doing everything for the churches, but yet even they were shaming Jesus? They were even just going along with the crowd. They were just saying, yeah, well, he doesn't like Jesus, so I guess I don't either. What do you want to leave here on this earth? Thank you, guys. Amen.